Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. All right, friends, how are you? And welcome. This is Danny Morrell with another episode of the Real Estate Sales Show. I actually believe that this is episode number 5 now, or it could be 6, but the point is, it's going to be a fantastic episode. I've got with me a friend that it's interesting. This is one of my first mentors ever in the business. I remember being a young real estate professional, hopping off the walls, was stuck because he got assigned to be my coach. And he was one of the guys that really helped me in my transition from being a real estate professional that sold based off of enthusiasm and emotions and basically transferred that into becoming a highly effective communicating machine that was able to transition from working buyers to sellers. So everybody, please welcome my good friend, Ty Leo Guerrero from Vacaville, California. Is that where you're from?
Northern California, the East Bay of San Francisco. I mean, we cover 3 counties and we're right in the hub of it. So
awesome.
Yeah, great to be with you, brother.
Great to be with you too. By the way, Ty, you're looking sharp, man.
I'm following you, man.
Pocket
I'm following
square,
the Intero
the whole
mode.
Thing,
yeah.
Right?
Boom, this is how we do it, right?
I love it. Yeah. I love it, TYLG. So Ty, let's go ahead and get right into it. If you don't mind, why don't you go ahead and just share with everyone a little bit about yourself? How long in the business? Let's start with that.
Got it. So I've always lived in Northern California. I've been in the business 22 years since 1994. I've always been very fortunate to be around good coaches, good mentors, Mike Ferry from day one. Right. Even before I had my license, I met Mike Ferry, and I've always surrounded myself with great people like you, Danny. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
All right. So, Ty, what got you into real estate sales?
I was a landscaper. I was a gardener. I had a full-time job, pretty good job working for, I had a PERS retirement and health care and benefits and all that. And I had a little side business where I was making a lot of cash doing, re-landscaping properties. And, I got this itch that I bought a rental property and I was talking with some friends and they said, hey, you might be good in real estate. They gave me at that time it was a VHS video.
Okay.
I don't know, some people know what a VHS is.
Right, right.
But ultimately it was a video. You put in a VCR and it was Mike Ferry talking about how you can make a 6-figure income by basically making phone calls and knocking door to door, which I was already doing for my lawn business. So that was the beginning.
Fantastic. So Ty, by the way, for most people, when they hear the name Mike Ferry, they get very disturbed. So I just kind of wanted to warn you about that. All right. So,
absolutely.
For guys like you and I, we know that, when you seek results, you just have to go look for the best and, that's our coach. So nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. One thing too, is that, this call, what we're doing right now, this is all about you, the listener, the viewer.
Right.
We want to give you tools and, we're not trying to push any kind of specific agendas or anything like that. Very different from probably other videos or conference calls or training material that you receive. I just happen to mention because that's my story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Ty, you are literally mowing lawns.
Yep.
Which I can't even picture.
Ha.
Right? I mean, because this is TYLG. This is the guy that picked my wife and I up in a Rolls Royce Phantom, gave me that first experience where I was sitting in the back of the car and I got to take off my shoes and, wiggle my toes in the mink, right?
Mink, baby.
So let's dig into that, right? How does somebody go from landscaping to doing what you did in real estate? Matter of fact, talk about that. What was your first couple of years like in the business?
Getting in the business, I had a little bit of a head start because I had some Mike Ferry, some training videos and cassettes and things like that. So even I was mowing lawns and I literally, I have earbuds in now. I had a Walkman with a cassette player and I'd be out working listening to Tony Robbins, Mike Ferry, Brian Tracy. I was always massively attracted to coaching and not just coaching, but just being around great leadership, being around and learning. And so my first couple of years, out of the gate, I did like the first year, I did like 24, 26 transactions. From there, it just kind of grew. It was like 40, then it was like 60, then it was like 72, 81, and then I busted over 100.
Wow.
But what I really figured out, and I think this was the fortunate event for me, is that I figured out learning is earning.
Wow.
In other words, the more you learn, the more you earn. And the idea was that I was always hungry to learn. I was always going to seminars, workshops, anything and everything, reading books, listening to tapes. I always say tapes because that's what they were in the early 90s, 2000s. And always just aggressively wanting to be around and learn from the best people. So,
you know, Ty, it's funny that you you said that, because as I was hearing your answer, I thought to myself, there must be, and I know this to be true, but there's a great correlation behind the fact that you said you were mowing lawns, listening to audio cassettes,
yep,
and your explosive rise and growth in the business.
Totally.
You know, and you and I know that, my friend. You and I mean, I love to learn, and I'm learning right now, you know. Tell me this, Ty, and we're going to get deep here in a second, but, you know, I feel that some people have a little bit of a hard time with this. I feel that some people have a hard time with just letting the ego go and just bringing down the walls and letting good people in your life, and most importantly, not accepting anything but the best mentorship, environment, culture, and surroundings. And you've always been the kind of guy, you're a yes person. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, we're going to Cabo here in a couple of months. We're going all out, you know, the suite, the yacht, the whole thing.
Yep.
You didn't even think. You say yes to everything. What makes you like that?
I am. I'm an automatic yes. And I've just found that, you know, if I put myself in the situations, things always work out for the greater good. And I just, you know, it's in my DNA. I mean, it's just who I've become. I would say that I wasn't always like that. But through the immersion of learning,
right,
and through being around great people and, you know, just immersing myself with, you know, listening to the right stuff, reading the right kind of books, being around the right kind of people, having the right kind of conversations, positive, upbeat, uplifting conversations, you know, it's easy for me to be a person that's an automatic yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So also, too, I just in there, I also want to share that, you know, a lot of, you know, you mentioned the ego, and it is a lot of work, you know, and I think what I figured out is that it isn't so much that, you know, I think the fear, I think a lot of times too, I'm experiencing a lot of this right now this week,
yep,
in a different area, not in real estate, but in, you know, in relationships and things like that. I think in general humans, we have a hard time to make ourselves be vulnerable. You know what I mean? We don't.
Okay. Hold. Yeah. You see now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Ultimately, I work so hard every single day, and this is the magic behind what we do. I work so hard to help people get more vulnerable.
Yep.
And there's a lot of trust that has to happen with that. But share some insight here. And you know, if you're a listener right now, you might be thinking, what the hell does this have to do with sales? Everything.
Yep.
Everything. Would you agree?
I would agree. And one of the, just kind of a thought, an old saying that I've heard time and time again, is how you do anything is how you do everything. And so, you know, we're talking about the ego and talking about vulnerability. You know, for me, being vulnerable in real estate is not an issue. If I'm around people, I role play. I always want feedback. I want to know what I did well. But more importantly, I want to know what can I improve on. You know, I felt like I've always been coachable, even playing sports. You know, I've always been coachable, and I've been able to make myself vulnerable in that area. But I think a lot of times, I think for us and for myself personally, I think you just have to let go, and you just really have to push yourself all in. And that's what I'm finding for myself, is that, you know, I can't be halfway in anything.
Okay.
I'm either all in or all out. And if it's something worth pursuing, you know what I mean? Like all the great, wonderful opportunities we have in our industry and in our business, I think you have to bet on yourself, and you have to push all in and allow yourself to be vulnerable so you can grow.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciate that about you. And I'm going to tell you, this is, you know, I'm messing with you.
Of course.
But the, you know, I have been hitting you up about doing what we are doing.
Yeah.
And taking it to Northern California.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I, because I know you as a friend, and I've watched you just go, And it's because you're not all in.
Right.
So if you're not all in, then you're all out. There is no in between.
Right.
And I just caught that right now. That is awesome. Yeah. Awesome, by the way.
Yeah. And it's, and when I'm all in, I'm all in.
I love it.
And it's, it ain't 100%. It's, it's 1,000.
Boom.
Yeah. It's 10X. So it's all the way.
Okay. So let's talk, Ty. So you're in business. Year number one, you sell how many houses?
Say it one more time.
Year number one, you sell how many houses?
Like 24, 26.
Okay. And it's interesting because I did 28 my first year. And I think a lot of people are like, how is that possible? Would you agree it was just through tenacity and hard work?
It was 100% tenacity, hard work. And on top of it, I didn't know any better. I didn't think 20 some, 25, 26, whatever was a big deal, because the way I looked at it is I was listening to exposing myself to people who were doing 50, 75, 100, 200 transactions. So to me, it wasn't a big deal. There was no complexity in it. I just went out there and worked hard and made it happen.
Okay, fantastic. And so you ended up doing that amount of business within your first year in the business.
Yep.
And then your second year, what'd you do?
It was roughly like 40, 45, somewhere in that range.
So that's a big hop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Third year?
Third year was like 62.
Another big jump.
Yeah.
Fourth year?
Fourth year was like 75.
Okay. Fifth year?
80, like 81.
Fantastic. And so let's stop there because I think, and I know you went on to do 395 deals.
Yeah. 2009, in the height of the REO stuff, I've done 395 deals. And and for me, the sweet spot too is that, you look at sharing that 395 deals, which seems glamorous, but the real sweet spot was doing 100 plus, right, and all the investments and the fact of not having, a bunch of people around and payroll and all of that, but having a simple, easy, well-organized, executable business. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Yep. So let's talk about that. How I talk to everybody about the importance of being the employer versus the employee.
Being a listing agent.
A listing agent, and to me, that is so simple to become, yet so hard to do, because it means you actually have to work on a daily basis at your skill set, your presentation, your smile. I mean, the shirt you wear, the tie, the whole thing has to be in order.
Absolutely.
And yet, Ty, as a result of so many people not wanting to put in that work, not that there's anything wrong with it, but, here comes Zillow. Here comes, all of this stuff that will feed people leads, But I think people are being robbed of the gift of learning how to sell and to go out and take listings on their own. What do you think about that?
I would completely agree. Number one, you want to be a listing agent. There's no doubt. I mean, when you're a listing agent, you can go out and take, let's just say, 5, 6, 8, 10 listings in a month, and you can literally go to Hawaii for 10 days and come back that following month and have 6 to 8 sales.
Right.
So you can't do that as a buyer's agent.
Right.
The bigger thing is that, like you said, the employer and the employee, I mean, when you have the listings, you get the buyers, you control the market. And in terms of easy, I would say nothing in life worth doing is easy,
right?
But it's simple. And the thing is what you do, the systems you guys have, what you guys do with the role plays and the sales meetings and all of the accountability and all the resources you provide. And of course, I've been very fortunate that, I've built a network of great friends and role play and accountability guys. But what you guys are doing is very, very special, and it's unique in that in the right environment, it can become very, very simple to become a great listing agent and make a lot of money and have control of your life.
Wonderful.
And your time.
And that's ultimately what we all want.
Absolutely.
So Ty, so let's take this a step further now. Okay. So you're pushing to 100 sales, right? At the time, how much income is that for you?
At the time I was at about 600,000 striving and pushing toward 1 million plus.
Okay. And so let's talk about that, because I know that one of the secrets to getting to 1 million is you have to think 1 million.
That's right.
Right. And I think I hit my million, I think it was year 6 or 7-ish, something like that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Was that like for you? Yeah. Right about, yeah.
That's, and it's funny because if we take a survey of all the great guys and people we know, right. It literally, if you average and you talk to 30 people, it's always 6.5, 7 years.
7 years.
It's always the same.
And you know, some of the people that work with me closely, you know, like our buddy Adrian's and obviously like my brother, you know, I don't think they understand. And to be quite honest with you, Ty, for those of our listeners that are out there right now, because my mission is to share with them everything that I share with everybody that I coach and train on a daily basis.
Yep.
So just by being a listener of the show, you're going to get exposed to all of the principles and thoughts you need to make a million within 6 and 7 years. Okay. So this is a pivotal point for us, Ty. You know, I think a lot of people in our industry get stuck, you know, and they get stuck because the reality is that each commission check is probably a lot bigger than what most people were used to making in a month.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? And then here we go talking about a million in 6 to 7 years, which to me, it was like, if I didn't do that, there was something wrong with me.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
That comes from, I think, the exposure that we've been exposed to, the people, the coaching, all of that. Ty, what could people do if they wanted to have the audacity to say from today, from right now, in 6 or 7 years, I'll be earning $1 million a year?
Yep, absolutely. So a couple of things that I think about that are key is it's all about who you surround yourself. If you look at the top 4 or 5 people that you spend your time with, mm-hmm. top 4 or 5 people that I spend time with, are they either A, at that level, which if they're not, that's okay, or are they working toward that level?
Right.
Okay, so that's one of the things is that I've always surrounded myself with people that have, that are winners, people that are going for it, people that are playing all out, people that are all in, and you know, like I say, in it to win it. You know, those are the kind of people I'm going to spend time with. So that's number one. Number two, I would say that exposure. You know, start reading different books and magazines. Start looking at things like the Robb Report and the DuPont Registry. The beautiful thing is in you know, my favorite place in the world in Southern California. Go down to Newport Beach, go down to Laguna Beach, go down to Crystal Cove on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and watch all the Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Bentleys and, you know, all the exotic cars. I call it the $1 million minute. When I'm down in PCH, I can be sitting there drinking a Starbucks and literally see $1 million worth of cars drive by within a minute. Wow. You know, literally every minute. Wow. If you're there on a great Saturday. So, you know, get out there. I think just really just dream and get exposed. But ultimately, like I said first, it's really about the people you spend your time with. It's about that network, and that if you have people that aren't in line with it or that kind of tease you, maybe kind of make fun of you a little bit, at, you know, treat you like you're a little bit like, oh, you're goofy, you're just a dreamer, stuff like that, you got to cut them off. You got to cut those people. You can love them, but you can love them from afar.
Awesome. So. Awesome. So, Ty, I'm going to assume. But I'm going to assume that because of the fact that you went right into landscaping, I'm going to assume that you, like me, didn't come from a family that thought as big as we currently think. Is that correct?
It's completely accurate. Yeah, I was raised by my grandmother. I was the youngest of 5. I mean, my grandfather was always in and out and all that. So you could say it was, there was dysfunction at times, a lot of love. We were very rich in love. Absolutely. My grandmother loved me and always built me up to believe in myself. But I can tell you that, even as a young kid, I mean, I can remember 7 or 8 years old, I had a paper route. I was doing yards in the neighborhood, you know, collecting cans and bottles. I mean, just doing all the things that, you know, kids do to have a little bit of money in your pocket.
Right.
So,
awesome. Yeah. And I bring that up, Ty, because, you know, for some of our listeners, you just mentioned things that to me feel perfectly comfortable. And this is real and this is deep. And we need to address this if you ever want to break through in your life financially. To give you an example, today, you know, I read Forbes and I read Fortune magazine. And today, Forbes came out with the second annual 200 wealthiest families in the country. Yeah. And the minimum cutoff was like $1.8 billion.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it was kind of funny, and I should have done it anyways, but I went to share the link because that kind of stuff gets me excited.
Yeah.
You know, now what happens to the common thinking individual is that that kind of stuff is threatening. Yeah. And they make up stories and reasons why that is bad.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about here?
I'm with you 100%.
And
I know
they'll
exactly.
Start saying things like, oh, well, you know, it's because of, I'm going to go ahead and say it. They'll blame it on their race. They'll blame it on their, you know, the fact that they were born with it. They're blaming on the fact that, well, you know, the government, they'll blame it on the fact that, you know, they were handed it to them, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And people like you and I are believers that we are in control of our destiny, however big or small or whatever we want that to become.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about the mindset of money. Talk to me about the mindset of abundance, and also how that mindset allowed you to achieve more in your real estate business.
Two or three things that come to mind that are really core beliefs is that it's out there for whoever wants to work for it, you know. And I really believe that, you know, Elon Musk, you know, if you look at you know, the people like Steve Jobs. If you really look around and see the people that have made incredible strides and have done incredible things, they're just like you and I. I mean, they have the same nervous system. They have the same, you know, a lot of them come from broken homes. Some come from privileged homes. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's all about your burning desire.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that we hear about and we talk about too is that, you know, the disease of the human spirit is complacency. And that I think in terms of like abundance and where people get hung up is that, you know, it won't be because you, it may be because of your burning desire. I would be more concerned that you'll get to, you know, let's just say 25 deals and making $350,000 and you'll be okay with that. Mm. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that if that's really where you want to be.
Right.
But I also believe that we should all be pushing ourselves to be the best we can be.
Absolutely.
To be our best of our best, to be also too, there's only, you're either growing or you're going backwards. So the idea is that you're always growing and going for it, you know, and so I think that in terms of abundance, it's all about personal. It's about personal desire. It's about burning desire. And every person watching this, especially in our industry, we are so amazingly blessed. Mm-hmm. I really believe that, you know, to be in real estate, I mean, the opportunity is incredible because it's absolutely unlimited. I mean, it's really, what are you willing to put in and how strong is your commitment? How strong is your, you know, tenacity to go out there and you know, your hard work and dedication to make your dreams come true at whatever level that is.
Right. I love it, Ty. So. And with abundance comes the ability to contribute to others.
Absolutely.
Ty, absolutely. My pastor, and this is, I don't even think I, you know, it's in my Bible because it's one of those quotes that he said, this was like 10 years ago, that I think impacted my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm lucky in that I was never one of those people that grew up thinking that money was bad or evil or whatever the case may be, you know.
Right.
On the contrary, I grew up believing that, you know, the mismanagement of money is bad because I grew up thinking that, you know, my parents got divorced because of money.
Yep.
And so I'll never forget this. I'll never forget my pastor said, biblical abundance means that a lot flows through you.
Hey, yeah.
Right?
Amen. Totally.
Not to you, meaning you're meant to be a reservoir, not a dam.
Absolutely.
So talk about that because I love giving back and nobody needs to hear or know about, you know, how I'm giving back or whatever the case may be. But what are your thoughts about that?
I absolutely agree with that. And I would say that, that it is absolutely a natural law and that, you know, the people that usually have the most are the people that give the most and make the biggest difference, the biggest contributions, and really share of their wealth. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to share it, sharing in your knowledge, inspiring people, but also the fact that think about what you can do for your family. Think about what you can do for, like, as an example, people watching, you know, your mother, your grandmother, mm-hmm. Maybe you have a brother or sister who's not doing so well and how you can contribute to them. I know as an example, I have, you know, in-laws and I have the ability, you know, to support and send extra money and help out with things. Or, you know, I hear about somebody, I heard about a kid that got killed down at the border and his family's local and all that. And I don't want to be, I'm not saying this to, you know, I don't want promotion or anything like that. I don't want any anonymous, but sending money to the family, to this widow, this young widow, just to try to help her out and stuff. I don't even know her, but I just, you know, I heard of it through friends of friends. So I think at the end of the day, that's what money's about. I mean, money really is about its sharing, its contribution, to inspire others, to create new possibilities for others. You know, if you go out, if I go out and make a lot more money, it inspires all of our listeners that, hey, I can do that too. I know you and I share that same good fortune that, you know, I was able to, you know, buy my grandmother, who's like my mom, I was able to buy her a home. And I know you did the same. I know you guys did the same thing. And then I was able to buy her home and furniture and put her in her dream home, you know, and this was a home that she, you know, she really wanted. And, you know, I mean, for me, that makes me so proud and so excited that I could do something like that for, you know, somebody who gave me so much of their life and, right. you know, helped me become who I am. So.
So let's go here. 'Cause, you know, by the way, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely feeling that we're going to help a lot of people.
Absolutely. With this interview. Absolutely.
So a lot of what I try to teach, Ty, happens to be real world principles that you can apply in real estate. You can apply in anywhere, right? So we have a listener right now and they feel a little stuck in terms of their business, whatever that may be.
Okay.
What would be the first steps that you would take in order to start saying, you know, to that individual that says enough is enough, I'm ready to explode my life. What would be the first couple of steps that you would take?
I think the first thing, you know, and it's funny because even now I'm like rewriting my goals. The first thing is, you know, make a decision. Absolutely make a decision. So like right here, I got, you know, yep, there's yours. I got mine.
I just wrote them today.
Yeah, right. So I rewrote my goals. I felt a little bit off. I, you know, had a good start to the month.
Right.
I was off a little bit last week. I've had a little, you know, a little hiccup this week. No big deal. I rewrote my goals, rewrite what I want and declare and make a decision on what you want. I carry these with me in my pocket and I look at them throughout the day. But I think you got to make a decision. The other thing I think you do is you got to plug in. And when I say plug in, it's everybody has an environment. And I believe everybody should have. And if they're on this, they have access to a positive environment.
Absolutely.
Meaning that to plug into your office, plug into your office managers, plug into your accountability group, you know, your friends and family who go to, you know, that are going to the same kind of seminars and things like that. You want to plug in with those 3 to 4 to 5 people who you can tell them about what you're up to, but more importantly, enroll them. First, you would ask them, how can I support you in what you're doing? What
right.
are you up to?
Right.
And then, of course, you ask them, you know, for their support and accountability. So, that's really it. I mean, I think you just put it out there, you make a decision, and then you enroll yourself to support other people. And then likewise, they're going to reciprocate and support you and awesome. Help you get there. So
awesome. Awesome. Yep. Now, Ty, let's talk about the technical side.
Yeah.
What are some things that real estate professionals should be doing on a daily basis? And you know, it's funny. We are so in sync in our beliefs
yeah.
that I already know what you're going to say, but just, yeah. you know, just go ahead and
yeah, I'll just say it. They've heard it before.
Yeah.
In terms of the daily process, I think I would start with number one, you got to build your mindset. You know, I have a ritual where I review my goals. I read like an affirmation statement about what I'm up to, what I want to accomplish this year, this month, this week. I do that right when I wake up. I also get a good workout in the mornings, get a good sweat, get recharged, listen to great music. You know, every day I got to listen to Drake and 2 Chainz and, you know, and other stuff too, but I got to get myself pumped up and fired up. And for whatever gets you pumped up, the listener. But the biggest thing is that you got to be working on your skills. You should be plugging into a role play, mm-hmm. scripts and dialogues, practicing, just like, right? We just saw the Super Bowl, right? The best people in the world, what do? They practice. Entertainers, athletes, the highest paid people in the world, they practice. So every morning you should be getting into the office early and plugging into those role plays and those practices. And then the last but not least, we could call it whatever you want, lead generation, prospecting, make phone calls, go talk to people and find people who need to buy and sell.
Okay, fantastic, yeah, fantastic. So Ty, by the way, for all of you listeners, there was a pretty cool moment right there where Ty said, I rewrote my goals, and he held up his card, right? If you're listening on iTunes, you're not able to visualize this. And I actually held up, you know, my goals, right? Which I just rewrote again today, right? And so I wanted to encourage you guys, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DannyMorrell, where most all of our podcasts are going to be featured on video in case you want to sit down and actually, you know, look at it this way. Ty, this is a new segment of our show. It's obviously a new show, but, you know, we're always improving, always wanting to do better. And, you know, what I'm going to do is, obviously, I'm only able to have 5,000 friends on Facebook.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start to pose questions on Instagram and on my Facebook page.
Yep.
So if you guys haven't done so already, and we're going to allow them to connect with you in a second, Ty, you might want to go look me up on Instagram. That's Danny Morrell. And then on my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/danny.morrell.page. And on a weekly basis, literally during the interviews, like live as they're happening, I'll warn you guys, and then you have the ability to ask questions. So Ty, you ready for some questions?
I'm ready.
Okay. So here we go. So yeah. I've got, this is actually on Facebook. You know what? I'm going to give it to her because this gal did a fantastic job at the retreat. She's Hal Swayze's buyer's agent, right?
Yes.
So we've got Lindsay Harn. Lindsay wants to know 50 to 60 houses a year. How the heck did you do that?
Lindsay knows because she's a superstar. I think she's doing more than that, and she understands. But the key is just you only want to work with motivated people. I think the real difference, just as we're talking about it, the difference between somebody doing 30 and 50, 60, 70 deals is the person doing 30 deals a year is putting up with a lot of BS.
Right.
They're putting up with people that are difficult or needy or whatever the case may be. Don't get me wrong. We love on our clients. We treat them with the highest level of service and respect and love. But the big thing is you've got to work with the right people. I think that's making that jump to the higher levels, 50, 60, 75, 80, 100 plus, you can only afford to work with highly motivated people who are polite, that are nice, appreciate your time, and absolutely have to do something. They have to sell or they have to buy.
So now that's a great answer. And now I'm going to take it to another level because at one point in time, Ty, you were buying 50 to 60 houses a year.
Yeah, probably about 1998, I started flipping houses aggressively, building my rental portfolio. From about 2000 to 2006, we would do 100 plus retail, just listing and sales sides. I had a buyer's agent that would help me with the buyers. And then I would personally buy about 50 to 60 properties, either flip deals and then pull out stuff for rental portfolio stuff to keep.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. So another question. This is a question from Rigo Gaxiola from Century 21 All-Stars.
Yep.
How do you remain hungry when you're at that level, right?
Yep.
And then, you know, and how do you not let complacency set in?
Very good. I'll allude to it, and I said it earlier in the thing, in the 30 minutes ago, but you just got to hang out with people that are all, hang out and talk to and get exposed to people that are doing more. And then my thought is go to places that really inspire you. Really find what I would call your compass for inspiration. Like, you know, it could be going to the Beverly Hills to the Montage and walking around Rodeo Drive. For me, it's going down to Newport Beach. It's going to Mastro's for dinner, for cocktails, happy hour. But it's going down on PCH and seeing people that are really living it at the higher levels.
Awesome. Okay, great. Great question. Because that constantly helps you to understand that you're doing great compared to your circle of influence.
Right, right.
But there's a much, larger pond to play in, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's inspiring to actually go see, feel, touch, smell what that's like, the higher levels, the next levels of success.
Okay. So here's a great question. This is Kevin Messiah from Intero Real Estate Services. He asked, how did you adapt when the market changed in 07, 08, and what would you have done differently?
A great question. For me, I shifted. I was a little bit late in my shift, but fortunate for me, I've always had a great network. One of the things when I go to events, I'm always make sure to really, acknowledge, speak with, reach out to a lot of people. So that benefited me in 2008. In 2008, I had done like 27 transactions. I'd gone from doing 100 plus to literally what I would call a crash and burn down to 27 deals. And pulling my hair out. But what I did in 2008 was I went out and I networked with all the agents that I had known over the years and figuring out who has REO accounts. And what we would do is we would share information and basically help each other, build REO business. So in 2009, I was all in REO. And that was survival. From the outside looking in, it looked like we were making a ton of money. And there was a lot of money that was flowing. But at the end of the day, getting into REO is how I survived. I can tell you, though, that in this era and what we're doing now, I really don't see another REO market like that coming.
Okay.
That's what I did.
Okay, fantastic. So here's another question. What percentage of your business or how much money do you spend on marketing to generate, you know, real estate business?
Great question. I spend very, very little. I spend probably between 5 and 8%, and that's even a high number. It's probably, you know, closer to 5%. I can tell you that I do a little bit of like postcards to past clients, sphere of influence. I do some promotional stuff with past clients, sphere of influence. I typically like to buy nice gifts for my influential
clients,
people that refer, you know, attorneys, people that send me business. I do a little bit more for them, and or anybody who sends me business, I'm going to do a little bit more for. But I don't really spend a lot of money. In the past, I had spent money doing direct mail. I would do, 5,000 postcards a month, something like that. But ultimately, it was a diminishing return. It was kind of like me just thinking, okay, I'll do this and it'll bring in some extra deals. The reality was I was burning money.
Ty, it's funny because, you know, and this leads me into the next question. It says, you know, this is Ricardo Ochoa from the Beverly Hills area. Not too sure what office, but how many lead generation systems do you have? Which ones are they and why do you use them? And it's funny because we just brought on a new agent to the company here, and you know, when he's asking me about all of our top people, like none of them spend any money on marketing.
Yeah.
And people have a very, very difficult time understanding that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the natural result when you follow a system,
right?
You know, you wake up early, you get to the office, you role play, you approach and you call targeted, specific, motivated sellers. And you don't really have to do what everybody else did if you do this business the right way. Ty, I did 150 deals, you know, my last year in the business. And I'll be honest with you, I did everything opposite of what the normal real estate crowd does. Normal real estate crowd goes to that, you know, event mixer or whatever. I go read a book or go hang out with my family.
Totally.
So talk about that. What are your lead generation methods?
It's very simple. I don't think any of this is earth shattering. I do expireds. I do old expireds. I do past clients, sphere of influence. And then I also do probates. I think that's a little different than, you know, maybe other people are doing. And then I work with some attorneys. I have a handful of attorneys. And then I have a handful of hedge fund guys that I work with that flip houses. And, you know, we partner with them on flipping and sourcing deals for them. But that's pretty much it. It's a very simple, it's a one-to-one type business. I'm making, just like everybody else, I'm getting on the phone. I'm on the phone minimum 2.5 to 3 hours a day. If I don't have a lot of appointments, I'm on the phones for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. Every now and then I'll do some just listed, just sold. That's pretty rare. I would rather call old expireds or go through my friends, family, past clients, sphere of influence stuff.
But Ty, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but we get paid well.
That's right.
We get paid well. I mean, you know, it's we really have. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of pay. You know, I mean, the upside is so huge for what we do. So it's like if you're willing to work hard, the hard work, highest pay, low work, lowest pay.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to work hard, you're going to make a lot more money. If you're looking for low work, you're going to have the lowest pay. It's not, you shouldn't be in this business.
And, you know, Ty, it's interesting because, you know, people, I think, are having a harder and a harder time with that concept right now. I think that, you know, companies, you know, that do the online marketing and give you leads and whatever, they're feeding into the fact that this next wave of young adults that are entering into the business, they don't want to work hard. They want to just make the money. And, you know, everybody wants to be an overnight, like, internet app sensation in real estate.
Yep.
And what they don't understand is that that's just not the way it happens.
Yeah. It's that in itself is a lottery. I mean, we hear about it and we read about all these young kids or, you know, young people who come up with an app or some piece of technology. But that in itself is a lottery. Those guys are one in, 10 million, one in 100 million that those guys actually hit big. The great thing about it is that if you really look around, you'll see people like Anthony and Adrian. And I mean, we have a handful of guys that we know.
They're
that
doing
are young
it.
Guys. Yeah. Yes. They're 20 something. They're crushing it. They're making a ton of money, $300,000, $400,000, $600,000 or more. And all of those guys, the thing that's interesting that we talked about, We talked about the average. It took us 6 to 7 years to get there.
They're going
to
do it faster.
I know that we're going to have at least 5 to 10 guys in the next, I would say, 2 years, maybe right. 3 years, that'll be making a million plus.
I know, without a shadow of a doubt.
In our circles.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, and not buying the business and doing the business the way that we just talked about and we're describing.
Right. So, you know what? You just said something, buying the business, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk cost versus value.
Yep.
Because I'm a big believer that, you know, now not only are the agents wanting to buy the business, but the brokers are buying the business. I mean, the brokers. I mean, it's pathetic. I call it prostitution. Is what it really is.
Yeah, Mike Ferry says that all the time.
I mean,
too.
I thought I made that one up. So
you can have it.
Okay, good.
Wrong.
All right,
I might
good.
misspoke.
But you know, it's so sad. I mean, you know, I know that our listeners right now do things like give up their commissions, do things like you know help to fix the roof, do things like, you know, give kickbacks and referral fees, you know, and they're learning this, whether they realize it or not, psychologically from being a part of leadership that did it with them the moment they signed them up. Because the leadership didn't take the time to learn how to sell. As a matter of fact, most of the leadership in our industry is just somebody who failed at selling, right?
Right.
For the most part, I would say 9 out of 10. You know, and then sees an easy way to quote unquote make money. And I mean, talk to me about that, man.
I'm pretty passionate about that.
So I'm just going to be quiet. I'll let you talk.
Everything you said is spot on. It's like usually most of the sales managers or brokers or guys that were nice guys, but really couldn't sell their way, you know, through the business, and that they were nice. They were probably, you know, somewhat amiable or somewhat affable with, you know, people in the office. And so, you know, hey, I got a great idea. We'll make you the manager. You know, we'll make you the sales manager. I see those guys time in, you know, day in and day out. I see it all the time. With regard to, you know, people buy the business, the brokers are going to, I'll give you, you know, a higher split. And the brokers compete on split versus compete on value. And the key is that we want to compete on value. And the idea is that we want to add more value to every situation. Like what we're doing right now, you're adding value to a ton of people, right? When I personally go into a home and, you know, I'm making a presentation, or even when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, my primary purpose is to add value.
Right.
I want to add value to those people. So, you know, we as a real estate industry need to be focused on adding more value and not on, you know, price and cost and all that other stuff. It's the wrong focus. If you add enough value to enough people, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be wealthy beyond belief.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
And the problem with that is that in order to add valuable, you must first become valuable yourself.
Absolutely. You have to become valuable. You have to be somebody that is worth listening to. You have to be somebody that's worth, you know, worth their time and energy to actually, you know, to even have their presence. So absolutely.
And if a landscaper can do it,
Anybody can do it, right? Everybody can do it. If you have the burning desire, you can do it. I mean, that's the end game.
Awesome. So a couple more questions. Robert Watkins from Intero Real Estate Services. What was the one thing you consider the most instrumental in you developing your ability to communicate effectively and confidently in real life situations, such as prospecting or listing presentations?
That's great. Robert's great, by the way, because he and I were role play partners for some time, and he's
fantastic.
Awesome. So you're already on your way, Robert. And I'll tell you that you want to get in there, you want to role play, and then you want to role play some more. And then you got to go out and execute. You got to get out there. You got to make the calls. You got to talk to people. You got to practice your strategy. You got to practice your tools. And then you just got to get in front of people. And as you do that, you'll become more confident. As you begin to win, you take more listings, you make more sales, you become more confident, you keep doing it, you make more calls, you do more role plays, you become more confident. But it's all about the execution. As you become better, I think, Gladwell's book, Outliers, he talks about 10,000 hours.
Right.
So if you do the math, if I look at, you know, in terms of my role play and prospecting and all that over 22 years, I don't know exactly, but I've got to guess I'm somewhere close to 10,000 hours. Not to say that I've arrived or I'm the best, but at the end of the day, you've got to have that kind of focus. It's not, you know, I'm going to arrive and be great in 6 months or a year, but I'm just going to keep getting better and better and better. The other thing I would say is study great communicators. You know, look at what Danny, how he communicates. Study his body language, his, you know, verbal patterns, his pace, his tonality, his, you know, everything about, you know, great communicators, people like Tony Robbins. When you're watching on YouTube, if you see somebody on TV, really study what is it that they're doing that I'm attracted to, right, that makes them a great communicator. So
awesome. Love it, yep. Ty. We got a couple more questions, okay?
Yeah.
By the way, it feels like we've been talking for 5 minutes. It's been like 45 minutes. Is that awesome or what?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That means it's going to be a great show. Okay, so here we go. You see, a lot of these are... Okay, I'm gonna go here. This is from Laura Rojas, okay?
Okay.
Says, Ty, looking back when you were fresh in the business, 1 to 3 years old, what advice would you give yourself? What would you tell your old self, in other words, especially when your aspirations and expectations are so high? That's a good one.
That's a great one. That's a great one. Anthony and I talk about this all the time. Be patiently impatient.
Okay.
Be patiently impatient. In other words, I want it all now, but I also understand it takes time. And so, you know, I think you just got to be patient with yourself, but you have to also be impatient in that you got to go out there and get after it. You know, you got to, and it's interesting. There's a book, Compound Effect. Alex Laird turned me on to it. The author's Darren Hardy. But he talks about, it isn't about like you're going to go out there and role play for a week and now you're going to be good. It's that every day you incrementally, days on days on days, it's compounded and you just get a little better, a little stronger, a little bit more confident. And then, you know, and of course, results get better. So Laura's great. I know she's awesome. Just be patiently impatient and keep working hard. You're on the right track.
Fantastic.
So just keep working.
Fantastic. Two more.
Please.
What were the key factors to have in place to be able to generate at that high of a level in this industry? What if you were to say was absolutely necessary to build on the bottom floor foundation of your business? Yeah. And I want you to really kind of think about this one, right? Yeah. If you had to pick two things, you know, all the stuff we talk about, all the stuff we work on, what would be two things that you would say, you got to get this?
I think you really have to fall in love with your daily habits, your daily routines. I mean, it really boils down to that. And that, you know, we are our habits. You know, if you're a little bit overweight, if you're in really great shape, why? It's because of your habits. If you're if your prospecting's working and you're prospecting on a consistent basis, you're getting appointments, you're getting business, or you're not consistently doing it, why? Your habits. So are your skills getting better? Are you, you know, again, do you have the habit of consistently role playing? It's all about habits. So I think that just it's, how do you get bigger? You get bigger by getting better.
Wow.
And I think the foundational piece that you have to have is you have to have strong daily habits and or daily habits that are getting stronger, positive daily habits that are getting stronger by the day. Okay. And again, it's all about that compound. It's all just incrementally getting better every day.
I love it. This is the last one, okay?
Cool.
So if you lost it all today, this is Maria Squires. Great question.
Yeah.
If you lost it all today, you had to start all over again.
Yep.
How would you start all over again? What would you do? And would you do real estate all over again, or would you venture into something else? I think that's a no-brainer, but yeah.
That's a no-brainer. It's real estate all the way. I love, you know, there was a thought or a metaphor some friends and I had a long time ago, but we talked about to be so good at your skills and in your confidence to go out and produce results that you could literally just, okay, I'm going to move to, you know, Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm going to move to, you know, Portland, Oregon. I'm going to move to Fresno, California. I'm going to move to Newport Beach. Mm-hmm. And you could literally be up and running and doing business like that. And that's so right. What I would say is that, you know, if you're starting over or that kind of question, that kind of mindset, it's all about the skills. It's all about the execution. It all goes back to that daily schedule. Nothing new. It's the things that we've all been talking about for a long time. It's getting up a little earlier. It's getting to the office a little earlier. It's getting that workout in. It's about putting positive stuff in the mindset and, you know, getting in there, working your scripts and dialogues, getting on the phones and talking to people and going to see the people. And that's it. It's that our business is that simple. We're in the best industry in the world.
Awesome. Ty, yep. I've got to tell you, this has been one of my favorite interviews so far. And you know, the two things that I learned from this interview were there's nothing all that special, right? It's quite honestly, it's a foundational system that most people don't want to participate in because it's hard work.
Yep.
But when you combine that system and that hard work with the proper mindset and expectations, yep, that's when magic happens.
Boom. Magic, baby. Right? I love it.
Final thoughts for everybody, all of our listeners.
No, I was just going to say that, I love to connect with people. You know, I post a lot on Facebook. I just like you shared, I'm at like 4983. So I can't pick up. I have a lot of requests I can't respond to. So, but I need to build up and I want to get more people on Instagram, and I post there as well. So you can follow me at Instagram at @ty_LG.
Okay.
@ty_LG on Instagram. And I would love to connect with you guys. You can message me, whatever. If you have questions, I'm always available. Just like Danny. I want to acknowledge Danny because what they're doing is very, very special with Danny and Anthony and all the leadership at Intero SoCal. It's very special that they really are all about contribution and about helping people grow and develop to be successful. And it's not cliche. It's not like, you know, a lot of people can say it, but the fact that what Danny does, what Anthony does, and their entire team, you guys are out there executing and actually making it happen and making a huge contribution in the world, in our marketplace, and in our industry. So it's very, very special, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience.
I love it, my friend. I love it. So is there any other way to get a hold of you other than Instagram?
You can message me. You can send me an email at ty@tylg.com. ty@tylg.com.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear from you guys if you have questions. Whatever. I mean, just love to hear from you guys. Referrals, anything in the East Bay of San Francisco, Napa, Solano, Contra Costa, Alameda County. We'll get them sold and help you and help your clients, take good care of them and get you paid. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Fantastic, yep. Ty. Well, everybody, once again, this has been another episode of the Real Estate Sales Show. I got to tell you, I think we're onto something special here. I think this is going to be a dynamite, kick-ass, life-changing, empowering show for not just real estate salespeople, but for all industries, because we're going to be committed to the process of bringing you the absolute best, biggest thinking individuals that you can possibly imagine. But, you know, we need your help, okay? So why don't you go ahead and do me a favor and please go right now to iTunes, look up the show, subscribe, give it a 5-star rating or better, and write a review. The reason why that's so important, guys, is because of the fact that when you do that, it allows iTunes to kind of push us up a little bit more. And the bigger the show gets, the more powerful the guests are, those guests are going to want to see, you know, what this show is all about. And that's how we can show them what we're trying to do. So Ty, I want to say thank you, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I'm going to probably have to have you on again, by the way, because this was just too much fun.
It was fun. Yeah, I love hanging out with you and our energy, and I love it. Thank you.
And I'll see you in a couple of months in Cabo.
I'll see you sooner than that.
That's going to be ridiculous,
yeah,
huh?
Oh, it's going to be off the hook. I love
all
it.
All right, guys. Well, there you have it. Episode number 4 or 5 of the Real Estate Sales Show. Until next Monday, we will see you then. Bye-bye.